The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we are live in Kentucky. What a beautiful day it is here. Opening of Keeneland down the street. But football is on the minds of students who go to this wonderful campus tomorrow night. Kroger Field will be a beehive of activity. It was a week ago one of the biggest wins in modern Kentucky history as the Cats upset Florida, and they'll try to do it again tomorrow as the LSU Tigers come calling. Good afternoon. Welcome to Friday on the University of Kentucky's campus. I mean, it is a spectacular day. So much happening. This town is buzzing with thoroughbred racing and college football. And let's get to some headlines before we welcome in some of the coaches. Mark Stoops, confident Kentucky is locked in during LSU prep. And we will talk to the coach here in about 15 minutes, so do not go anywhere if you're a Mark Stoops fan. Lane Kiffin doing everything but winning football games. He's got the popcorn collection that will rival Orville Redenbacher, who came from just up the road from here. But can the popcorn help him win a game tomorrow? Meanwhile, LSU has removed COVID-19 protocols for fans at Tiger Stadium, beginning with the October 16 game against Florida. They had initiated that early in the year. The way the Tigers are playing, probably not a bad idea to encourage fans to be in attendance to support them. So that's where we are. We are located right here on the campus of the University of Kentucky. Often, it is always one of the most beautiful spots that we make every year. And let's talk about who will be here over these next 4 hours. I mentioned it, Mark Stoops. He'll be here at 3:15. And we look forward to chatting with Coach Stoops. Joe Tessitore is in Oxford on the call tomorrow. Taylor McGregor in Tennessee. Roman Harper, about 90 minutes away from Roman's weekly visit to the program. Taylor Davis down in the swamp. Tom Hart, he's on the call tomorrow. We'll hopefully be able to get him away from everything else he's been doing. I think he was going to Keeneland today and who knows what else. Cash Daniel knows a little bit about big-time games for UK. He was a big linebacker from a couple of years ago. Laura Rutledge will be here in 2.5 hours. McGee will drop by, and Chris Doering, nearly 30 years ago, beat the Cats on the final play of the game. He will join us as well. We'll also take your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Always enjoy talking to you on these Friday afternoons. And let's start with Kyle, who is up first. Hey, Kyle, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you, Kyle.
Paul, I'm currently on the way to College Station with my family. We're going out to see the Alabama game. We just not too long ago passed through Baton Rouge. I thought I saw Ed Orgeron out there in the Winn-Dixie parking lot trying to pick up some players for this team. But that's another story. Jimbo Fisher in the offseason, he talked a lot of mess. Talking how he was going to beat down on Nick Saban, beat down on Alabama. But you know this, just like everybody else, Saturday night, it's going to be a massacre. And I'm not talking about Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm talking about the College Station beatdown. Alabama is going to roll in there. Everyone's going to be on their couch about 7 o'clock. And Nick Saban is going to break his foot off, and you know what? It is going to be a beatdown. Alabama is going to go into College Station, take that Lassie dog they got, and choke the living life out of them. Roll Tide, Paul.
I might alert the FBI for that guy. Anyway, John is up next in Kentucky. Hello, John. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. Glad to have you in the Bluegrass and represent the SEC there. Hey, wanted to talk a little bit about last week. Florida, going into that Florida game, there was a lot of conversation about what Kentucky was going to have to do to dominate that game and ultimately win. And I felt like the big plays on special teams, the turnover resulting in points, and them dominating the line of scrimmage were ultimately what got them the victory, and albeit a very ugly game for the offense. And it seems like that Kentucky is starting to find those ways to win doing those things, and I wanted to see what you thought the keys to Kentucky's victory were going to be tomorrow.
Thank you for the call. I think I always look at the intangibles in a game. I leave the matchups to my brethren who will be with us later. But you know, to me, I think it's an important game to just try not to get too far ahead of yourself. We talked to Rodriguez the other day, and he admitted it was hard not to be thinking about the Kentucky win over Florida, and not that anyone's looking ahead, but Georgia is next week, and fans tend to move forward more than they should. And I'm sure that was one of Mark Stoops' messages this week. Maryland is up next. Maryland, thank you, and welcome to our show.
How are y'all doing today?
Maryland, we're doing great. Thank you.
I've been watching your show for a long time, and I've also been an Auburn Tiger for a long time, and I've seen all three of our Heisman trophies winners the year they won the Heisman. So I've got a lot of history, but I'm also thinking about the Georgia game tomorrow, and I was born in Georgia, and I've got a lot of relatives that are going to be pulling for Georgia, but I'm going to keep a low profile today. But the main reason I called is Craig Ogletree, our defensive person who passed away a few months ago. I knew him personally, and I tailgated with the Ogletree family right before the 89 Iron Bowl. I'd gotten tickets through an Auburn scholarship donor who I'd met. And Craig Ogletree was a fantastic person. His family was great. And he had given his tickets away to other family members and friends, and his poor mother got stuck out. So the scholarship donor gave me two free tickets on the 20-yard line right under the press box. And anyway, I gave Ms. Ogletree my other ticket. So me and Craig's mother sat together during the 89 Iron Bowl, and I was there, and it was just a
tremendous
special.
Well, you know, Maryland, that was thanks for the call, by the way. That was an epic game. That was one of the most important games I have ever been to between Auburn and Alabama. That was the first time ever at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Let's talk to Michael next, who is in Kentucky. Hey, Michael, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Well, I know a lot of people have said that, but the keys to this game, I think, is going to be not turning the ball over, being able to run the ball, and, you know, get some turnovers on defense.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you think about this game last week, I'm not taking anything away from UK, but Florida just couldn't shoot straight. And they really inadvertently or because of the mistakes allowed Kentucky to continue to get momentum. And you know, that doesn't happen all the time. So I think, and I'll save my commentary because Mark Stoops will be here in a few minutes. So I'll definitely let him give us some views of how the week has gone. Marshall is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Marshall.
Paul, how are we doing?
We're doing great.
Good. Paul, what do you think about your volunteers this weekend?
I like them a lot. I think Tennessee has really been surprising. You know, you think about this is an important game because, you know, I think South Carolina, when you think about Beamer taking over, probably took over a better program than what Josh Heupel took over. So, and there's no question in my mind, Tennessee has played better. South Carolina fans, you know, can feel good about their non-conference wins, but I think they have a long way to go. And quite frankly, I like Tennessee in this game.
Hey, well, if we can block off there at the front, I think we'll do just fine, Paul. That's the question, though. Another thing, I think them Clemson fans, they hopped on their spaceship. They were in outer space. They just landed, Paul. They're all starting to come back. No more Heisman Trophy talk down there for that DJ clown.
No, he'll have a hard time making all ACC, which I think I could make.
Hey,
Sebastian is up. Sebastian is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Sebastian.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Looks like you're having a good time in Wildcat Country.
We are.
Just got a quick question. A little bit confused on the rankings. I know you probably have a better take on it than I can. Hope you can clarify. How is Coastal Carolina ranked in front of Kentucky?
Now, hold on a second. Are you not telling me that a win against Arkansas State isn't worth more than a win against the University of Florida, which almost beat the number one team in the country? Come on now. Let's be real.
Hey, I'll say this. Maybe for some people, if you're a diehard Coastal Carolina fan, maybe. But I'm just looking at their schedule, the people that they've played. Norfolk State?
And all kidding aside, I watched that game last night, or some of it. I mean, how much can you watch Arkansas State play? But, they're a really good team, but they wouldn't have a chance playing up here against Kentucky. And I just think we fall in love with these stories. And good for Jamie Chadwell and good for Coastal. They won that big game last year. But don't get confused by the rankings. The rankings right now don't mean very much. And I think people have been slow to recognize Kentucky. Even the predictor the FPI predictor doesn't like Kentucky. But all you got to do is keep winning, and that will take care of itself. We're going to head to the break. Mark Stoops will join us in a few minutes, the head coach of the Cats, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. Coach Stoops will join us in a few minutes. One thing that is so special when we get out is we get to meet people that I feel like I know very well. A lady named Rhonda has been calling us for a long time. She's been battling cancer. I just saw her a minute ago, and she's doing great, and we are so proud to be able to report that. But she asked me, Rhonda asked me if I could say hello to her 86-year-old father, who is named Fred, who's having a birthday in LaGrange, Kentucky, and I thought we'd just hold up this sign here and wish him a very happy birthday. So happy birthday, Fred. And you keep going there, Rhonda. I don't know how many times I've used the word help me, Rhonda, when she's called in. So let's get back to the calls and take some more as we continue here as Coach Stoops will join us momentarily. How about Gray up next? Hey, Gray, go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a huge Florida Gators fan, and I was kind of really upset about our loss this weekend, but I wanted to get your thoughts on how you think we can turn this around and maybe try to compete for the SEC championship. And then the second question is your thoughts about the Texas and Oklahoma coming into the SEC. I'm not a big fan of it. and see what you think, how that's long-term going to affect the conference.
Well, I think the Gators are in desperate shape right now for the SEC because, I mean, they're two losses down. So the idea that Georgia could lose twice is hard for me to believe. I mean, Auburn might have one of the best shots at the Dogs just based on where the game is in Kentucky next week. So I am not high on that. And how do you turn it around? You execute better. You don't do it. You don't have 15 penalties like they did last week. So it's as simple as that. As far as Texas and OU, I really think it's fantastic. I know it may take a little while for it to come to fruition. And I think it's going to be fantastic for both. Coach,
how we doing?
It's great to see you. As you can tell, the crowd is pretty excited because Mark Stoops is joining us, and he'll be with us in just a second. And many more guests. I just want to make sure everybody knows that we are here until 7 p.m. And I think we're ready to say hello to Coach Mark Stoops. Let's hear it for the. Well, it is so great to see you smiling up here.
Yeah, today, Paul. Today, been a long week, but been anxious all week. But it's time to get going. We're just putting the finishing touches on the last bit of practice just now, and so glad to join you for a few minutes.
It is fantastic to see you, and we'll dispense with all the times we've been here when we were worried about whether you'd be around the next time we came. I don't think we have to worry about that anymore.
Well, I hope not,
Coach. Let's talk about where this team is right now, because it has already accomplished a great deal, but it's the SEC and the schedule is treacherous with LSU, and there's another team on the other side of that, which I'm sure you probably don't even know. But how do you take one of the biggest wins we've seen here in forever and get everybody calmed down?
Well, I think the more times we're in this situation, the better prepared we are. I noticed that Monday going into our team meeting. The focus and the energy of our team. They weren't too high, not too low. Even keel. You know we have to be like that every week. You talk to coaches all the time, talk to them for a living. You hear the same thing week after week. You have to reload on Monday. You win or lose, you have to learn from what you did the previous week and try to get better. Focus and cultivate the good things you're doing and work on the areas that you need to improve. I feel like we have a mature football team, and we're worried about this week. You know, we're coming off a big win, but for the coaches, it's back to work Sunday. For the players, it's Monday. And you got to get back, refocused, and have a great preparation. And I feel good about our team.
Coaches can control a lot. They can't control everything. And what I'm really curious about, and I watched the game, but I've talked to people who were in that stadium. You obviously had a pretty good seat. What type of a factor did these students behind me and the crowd have on the outcome?
A major factor. They really did. It was the first, my opening statement in the press conference was thank you. Thank you. Because it was a factor. I don't know how much of the game you got to see. I know you watched quite a few of them. There's a lot of football
I was locked into this one.
But, you go from third and one to third and six to third and 11. It's a lot easier to call a defense play on third and 11 than it is third and one. So, then later in the game, there was a critical fourth down that was major. So the fans played a major role. I have not heard our stadium like that much since I've been here, and we need it like that every week, but they played a major factor, and it helped. So, once again, thank you, and let's see it Saturday, right? Thank you.
Yeah, and I think that became obvious, and, who knows, a lot of things create penalties, but there's nothing like not being able to hear what's going on and being confused.
Well, I mean, it helped. I don't know what the situation was. I can only control our team. And we were in that situation a week before, playing on the road at South Carolina, and that's a hostile place to play. Everywhere in this league is like that. Somebody asked me the other day what I thought the loudest stadium was in the SEC. I said, take your pick. There's some great venues. And I certainly was excited to see Kroger Field like that, and we want it like that every week. But you have to get used to it. You have to be prepared for it. And so we'll be on the road here soon enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't look ahead, I do.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm curious, just when it was over, and then I've interviewed some of your players this week, and I know you don't want them looking back, but I have to ask you, when you finally were able to exhale, and it was pure bedlam. I know you've had a lot of accomplishments, but that had to be a feeling of great satisfaction.
It was because of the fan base. You know, when I first got here, you and I have talked many times, and there was always that conversation about Florida. Well, I was so worried about just building the football team. I couldn't worry about any one team. But after time, you do hear that. You do, and by the way, I've been in some really close games with Florida over the years. Game, you know, one play here or there. And so it was a good feeling to deliver for our fan base at home against a team that we've had a hard time with. There's no denying that. I said that prior to the game, and I said it after the game. I don't shy away from those things. It is what it is. And it was important for our fan base. But for me now, it's one game. We're over that hurdle. Let's get on to the next.
And I don't know. I mean, frankly, none of us could understand that because we just want to show the highlights and revel in that. When do you, as a coach, you go home, you have to enjoy it, but when do you just, it's over?
It's really hard that night, win or lose. It's really hard to shut it off, the mind, you know, the adrenaline that's pumping through your body. For me, it shuts off at some point, Sunday, you know, and so
fatigue probably helps.
Yeah, and it does. But then it's right back to work, and
right.
then it's on to the next obstacle. It's, you know, in this league, you can't ever decompress very much. With the night games, there's not very much time because you're reloading quickly. But it does take some time for me to calm my mind down after any game.
I know what kind of coach you are because we've had countless conversations, and I know you never want to make it about yourself, but suddenly, at least from a national standpoint, people are talking about you. Those within the league, I think, have done this for a considerably long time. Your name gets connected to, you know, by fans. Does that do anything for you, or are you just too focused on tomorrow night?
Yeah, not even. It's every 7 days. You know, you get an opportunity to be humbled every 7 days. So just kind of recalibrate, go back to work, worry about the next thing. And as I've said last week, I said to our team, you know, if you want to play in big games, which we do, then you have to take care of business, which right in front of you. That was one of the last things I told our team a couple hours ago before our last practice was, let's have a great Friday. And focus, because with you all here, with the fan base, with a bunch of families in town, you know, you could be distracted. And we have to have a good day today and go back to our meetings tonight and focus. And we can't let any of this be a distraction. We love it. It's good for our program. You know, we want to recruit at a high level, but you just have to control what's right in front of you. And you hear that all the time, but it's the truth. I mean, it's coach speak.
You know, I've always thought this was one of the most unique situations because you have an athletic director in Mitch Barnhart and a president in you know, Eli Capiluto, who decided at some point, you know what, we're not going to listen to which way the wind is blowing. We're going to stick with this guy and we believe in him. Where in most places, you know it, you got your family of coaches, it's, you know, a bad year or two, you forget about it. I mean, do you think this is going to – it's kind of funny asking you about your situation and how it relates to others, but
yeah.
But is this now going to be a model, do you think, that maybe show a little patience?
Well, you know, a couple things. I always, when we talk about that, number one, I have unbelievable respect and appreciation for Dr. Capiluto and Mitch Barnhart, but I get a little bit defensive on that end because I never gave anybody a reason to fire me either. There was clear improvement.
Right.
So you can't correlate me okay. to all the other jobs. You know, I don't care what the record indicated, there was clear improvement. And I think everybody felt that from day one. Were there frustrations? Yes. When you're trying to build a program in the SEC, as you know, your margin for error is so small. And anytime you lose a game like you're supposed to win, like how many games were we favored in year two, year three? What, two a year? Maybe. But if you lose one of them, then it's lights out. And now, as you know, with the fan base, with social media, with all the attention, you know, with much is given, much is expected. Everybody understands that. But I do believe people need an opportunity. And I think it's very hard. Once the tide turns, it's hard. So I think every situation is different. You know, and I believe that we all had a great feeling here that good things were going to happen. So that's all I could speak.
But Coach, the problem, and I agree with your point, but a lot of – coaches who are not doing a great job are all often always saying the same thing, like we're just this close.
Right.
And I think when a coach who is turning the corner but the games are going the wrong way, it's hard to believe in that.
It is. And like I said, there's so much attention to it now. There's a lot given to coaches and to staffs, and lots expected. There's not a lot of patience. But again, you know, for me and for most coaches, I don't know, because, you know, that was 7-8 years ago when I was in a difficult situation
long
before
time.
we got humped. But I believe all coaches, it just comes down to, like, just go and control what you can control. And I believe everybody that's going through that. I mean, I've had people near and dear and close to me that have been terminated. And look at how many coaches since I've been in this league. How many of my friends that I get close to in this league that are gone? I've been here 9 years. There's a lot of good coaches that have come and gone out of this league. Some multiple, you know, and you know, but I believe always when it gets hard, just control what you can control. Put your head down and go to work and try to block out the noise. But it gets increasingly harder in this day and age. Let's not kid ourselves.
You've never shied away from your goals. It's not like you've said, you know, we're just trying to be a good team. I mean, you have always talked about the ultimate.
Yeah.
And as you're getting closer to that, what does this team and this program have to do now? Because it there's quite a leap from here to there.
There is. We have to take care of business right now, like today and tomorrow. And that's just it, not look ahead. My aspiration since I walked in the door was to build this program to national prominence. When I first said that, people laughed. Like, okay, whatever. There's another guy trying to, you know, come win a few games, bounce out of here, do this. No, I want to build this program into a national game. Why? I mean, there's really no reason why we can't. You know, we got to continue to do things better. Continue to recruit great players. You see it. You know what this league's all about. There's fantastic coaches and great players in this league, but that's okay. That's what makes it fun. And as we win more, we're going to continue to recruit more and more athletes that could change the digits on the scoreboards, that could help us win. And we're getting there.
Yes, you are. And it is always great to see you. Let's hear it for Coach Mark Stoops.
Yeah, Thank you.
The cheers are getting louder here in Lexington. Yeah. We'll take a short break. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, Paul.
So great to see you. We'll be right back. We're live at the University of Kentucky.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
How about the comeback of the week?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
For the comeback of the year or whatever, it's Matt Corral. He needs it. Remember last year against Arkansas? He would like to forget it. A big comeback tomorrow, and Matt Corral doesn't ever have to hear that game mentioned again. And we welcome you back. Let's continue with Joe Tessitore in just a few minutes. How about Alan right now in Birmingham? Good afternoon, Alan. Alan, go right ahead. Jackson is up next. Alan, you there?
Yeah. Yeah, hey, how are you doing today, Paul?
Hey, Jackson, go right ahead.
Hey, yeah, awesome. Well, first of all, thank you so much for taking my call. First-time caller, long-time listener of your show.
Thank you.
Wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about Alabama this weekend and I guess in the next coming week. Drew Sanders obviously out this weekend. Wanted to know who you expect to step up in his absence. And on top of that, wanted to ask you on the other side of the ball as far as the running back crew. With Jace McClellan out, what do you expect that running back rotation to look like? And, I mean, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jackson. I'm not sure. I mean, those are big injuries. Don't misunderstand me. But you're talking about one of the deepest teams in the country. I don't think you'll see it tomorrow night, because I just think when you consider what Alabama doesn't have versus what A&M doesn't have, starting at Haynes with Haynes King. They lost a key defensive player this week. They lost two starting offensive linemen. I think it is a mismatch. I think the real question in this game is can A&M use Kyle Field? Can they use the 12th man? Can they figure out some way to keep this respectable? I don't think they have it. I mean, right now, we're talking about a moral victory. That shows you how far this program has fallen right now under Jimbo Fisher. We are heading to a break. More to come. We went a little bit long with Coach Stoops, so we'll make it up here. Joe Tessitore and a few more guests right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We've already talked to Coach Mark Stoops as he gets ready for the LSU Tigers tomorrow night at Kroger Field. Joining us now, Taylor McGregor, who is part of the team that will be covering the South Carolina-Tennessee game in Knoxville. Taylor, thanks so much for joining us. Give us the scene set and what the buildup has been like for a critical game for both schools.
Hey, Paul, so good to be on with you. I think Tennessee really has momentum coming off of that huge victory against Missouri. Now, granted, it was against a defense in Missouri that's given up nearly 40 points a game, and so putting up 62 points might not look specifically big time to a lot of folks, but within this program, they really feel like the offense is starting to look the way that they envision it looking. And yes, there's a lot to build upon, but they feel like that momentum is going to carry over this week against South Carolina. Now, of course, Shane Beamer looking for that illustrious first SEC win, and they feel confident as well that their program is headed in the right direction, kind of starting to have some continuity with Luke Doty, a quarterback, and they feel like each week as he gets more healthy, he can really help carry this often in the direction that they would like to see it go, specifically in the run game. They really want to see him extend plays with his legs, and that comes with health. So the farther along we get away from that ankle injury, the better for them.
Taylor, let's talk a little bit about the Tennessee quarterback situation, because it has been perplexing, if not exasperating, to follow it since the very beginning when Milton started, and then injuries and a lot of the poor play created various scenarios, but it looks like Josh Heupel has finally found his man.
He has, and they feel confident in Hendon Hooker and Hendon's ability to make quality decisions. That was the thing that we kept hearing from them all week long, is that they really like his decisiveness on the field. They like the way that he's even keeled. That's something you want out of a quarterback, specifically in the SEC, a guy who's not going to get too high and he's not going to get too low. And so they like the demeanor, but they also like what he brings to the field, really being decisive, hasn't turned the football over. And they're going to need that this week again. South Carolina, a team that we know leads the conference in turnovers. So I think they feel confident about him, and just that continuity is important for this offense.
Taylor McGregor, part of the team that will be covering that really important South Carolina-Tennessee game. Thanks so much, Taylor. Really do appreciate it. Let's go back to the calls here in Lexington at 855-242-7285. And Jason is up next. Jason is in Kentucky. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just, I was calling, like, earlier in the week, you talked to with Junior, and you said that they didn't make it look easy, and I couldn't agree more. I watched these games, and, you know, it's like you're watching the Wildcats, and it's like you're waiting for other teams to make mistakes rather than them just beating people, and I guess we're going to find out what they're made of in the next few weeks. But, yeah, it's like, you know, I want to see how Stoops is doing a really good job here in Kentucky with the talent he has, but sometimes it's like you're watching him and you're watching, you know, three stars with some sprinkled in four-star recruits, and he's playing four stars with sprinkled in five stars, and I guess you just feel that watching the games where you, you know, you're just playing. It's like he's playing talent that's better than what he's got, and he's just making things happen.
Well, I think that's a big part of his success is he's found a way to mold a lot of players who are good, but maybe not your prototypical five-star Alabama-Georgia recruits into a real team, and I think that's what finally is coming together. I mean, he said something here. I mean, it's one thing to win games, but beating Florida here really mattered. The Wildcats won a couple of years ago down in the Swamp, and that was critical, but it was really important to win in front of the home fans because this is a game that Kentucky has really found ways to lose over the years. Bob is up next in Georgia. Bob, thanks. Good afternoon.
Yes, I just want to talk to you about two things. One is when you see Roman Harper, would you ask him if he thought about coaching? Because I love the way he breaks down the offense and the defensive schemes. And I just think he would be a great defensive coach.
Yeah, he'll be here in about 45 minutes. I will definitely ask him that.
And the other thing is Georgia, I'm a huge, huge Georgia fan. I think the difference between us and Alabama, I think our front seven is better than theirs, and I think our running backs, we have five, and they're beat up there, but their difference is the quarterback. They have an elite quarterback, and our quarterback has got an ongoing condition that could last all year, and he's not going to battle
test. That's a fair point, Bob, and I know we haven't really talked a lot about it, but JT Daniels is always a question mark right now, and let's hope he continues to recover. Hey, thanks for the call. Blake is up next in America's Georgia. Blake, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I was calling in to ask you, do you think Georgia's defense gives up any points against Auburn this weekend?
Yes, I do. I don't think they're going to give up bukus of points, but I think Auburn will score on them. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. William is up next. Hey, William, go right ahead.
Taking my call, Paul.
Thank you.
Long time listener. I want to go over a couple things. First thing is Alabama looked real good against Ole Miss, and I know A&M is hurting in a few positions, but I don't think we're going to have no problems going down there.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I'm not. Listen, you cover the games that you're handed, but this is fairly disappointing. Because the hype coming from not only Jimbo's mouth, but from the A&M fan base was nonstop. And the fact that this game is I fully and with all due respect to where I am, I'm delighted to be here, but before the season you start thinking, okay, on this date I'll be here. I mean, I would have bet my house that we would be sitting right in front of Kyle Field today before the game of the year in college in the SEC in college football, and it's turned out to be a dud. Now, it doesn't mean it will be tomorrow night, but at least from a build-up standpoint, it's not even among the top three or four SEC games this weekend.
Well, I totally agree, because as a fan's outlook at it is at the end of the bowl game that A&M had last year, quote-unquote, is they was there to stay, is what Coach Fisher said after they won that game. They said they wasn't done, and I was expecting more. And I know their starting quarterback got hurt, but, that's what happens when you go to putting words out there. And
yeah, you're
you
right. William, if you're going to use an expletive and say, I'm going to kick Nick Saban's you-know-what, you better do it. And
exactly.
Jimbo Fisher
exactly.
right now
and,
may spend the rest of the year wiping the egg off of his face. We're live in Lexington. We had Mark Stoops in the first hour. We got a long way to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.